The book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, we read verses 2 and 4. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Do you see how the book opens? O Lord, O Lord, Habakkuk commences his book by drawing us into his prayer closet, by drawing us into his most intimate time with God in his distress. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. He's wrestling with God, isn't he? He's wrestling in prayer, and he's telling us, he's letting us see how he's wrestling with God. And he's telling us what he said to God, and verses 2 to 4 that we read contain that prayer, Habakkuk's first prayer. We will focus on verse 2 just this morning. This verse shows us two things about him and his prayer. It shows us, first of all, that it is the prayer of an afflicted man. He's an afflicted man that's praying. And then secondly, it shows us that it is adding to his affliction that God does not seem to hear him. God doesn't seem to answer him. And that's adding to his distress. That's adding to his affliction. So here we have a man of God who prays in his affliction, and yet his affliction seems aggravated by God's apparent silence. And those are the two heads that we consider as we look at verse 2 this morning. It is the prayer of an afflicted man. You can see that. It is clear that the prayer is not praise. He's not giving thanksgiving. He's not praising the Lord. The Bible tells us that with thanksgiving, we ought to make our petitions to God. But Habakkuk doesn't do that. He doesn't feel like giving thanksgiving today in his prayer closet. Later on he shall. Whenever, by the time we come to the end of the book, he'll sing a psalm in chapter 3. And the book will close to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Later on he'll feel like singing. Later on, the music will come back. Later on, there'll be the praise and the tune and the celebration and the jubilation. Later on, we'll get there eventually. But that's chapter 3. That's future. The Bible says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. That's the order of the book of Habakkuk. That's the outline of this book. He's afflicted, he prays. Then he's merry and he sings psalms. Habakkuk is not merry today. His joy is gone. He's under a heavy load, and he does what the Bible tells us to do in that situation. Let him pray. Let the afflicted man pray. And he prays. Now, as to the cause and the source of the trial and affliction that he is undergoing, we won't touch on that today. Verses 3 and 4 reveal it. What is bothering him, what it is that is heavy upon his heart, but that's not our concern today. What Habakkuk's personal burden is. That's not our concern. It serves our purpose this morning just to know his burden. He is burdened with a heavy burden. His burden might not be your burden. His burden might not be my burden today, but that doesn't matter. Everybody's burden is different. We all have our own cross to bear, and often the cross is different, more or less the same shape, more or less the same weight, but everyone's cross is framed different. Certainly to his shoulder where he bears it and carries it. And so it's not Habakkuk's personal cross that we're concerned about today, but the pain. The pain that he has in his heart, the cry that comes from his soul, the distressed thoughts are usually always the same, whatever the burden is. The question is, what do you do when you are afflicted? There's only one thing to do when you are under the load, and Habakkuk does it. He says, O Lord, O Lord. That's where he begins. And that's where we all must begin in our troubles. We must begin here, O Lord. Are you burdened today? Say, O Lord. Are you under a heavy trial that you can hardly bear? Say, O Lord, O Lord. Can you not cope with the pressure that presses you down? Say, O Lord, O Lord. And so, Christian, always in your trouble, whatever the nature of the trouble, and I don't know that, but whatever the nature of the trouble, the response is always the same for us. You have to seek the Lord. You have to say, O Lord. The psalmist was always doing this. Don't we love the Psalms? Isn't the Psalms our rock into which we enter like God himself as a great high tower where we can say anything we want to him? However low our state. And we even have the very words in which to say it in that tower, for he gives us this prayer book. And so the psalmist is always doing this, always saying, O Lord, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard me too, out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. Remember how he said on another occasion, he says, the sorrows of death. Not ordinary sorrows, but the very sorrows of death itself compassed him, surrounded him like bands and chains, enclosing and enfolding and squeezing him. The pains of hell, he said. The pains of hell. They got hold upon me. I was pressed down. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon Jehovah and said, O Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Some years later, after this prayer of Habakkuk, some years later, his fellow prophet Jeremiah was cast into a deep dungeon. And that's all Jeremiah could do. There was only the Lord to go to. He tells us about it. He says, "Mine enemies chased me sore, like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon, and they cast a stone upon me in the top of it. And there I was in this low place, this dungeon. Only the waters trickled in. Only the waters flowed over mine head. And I said, I'm cut off. I'm alone. But I called upon thy name. Oh Lord," he said, "Oh Lord, out of the low dungeon. Oh Lord." Habakkuk is in a similar place to his brother Jeremiah. He's not literally imprisoned, of course, as that prophet was, but he feels something similar, and he cries out in his distress, "O Lord, O Lord." And this is the most wonderful thing of all. It's not a problem to the Lord that we run to him in trouble. It's not a problem to the Lord that we call upon him in the day of our calamity and say, "O Lord." He doesn't upbraid us. He doesn't say, "Ah, you come now." No. In fact, he wants us to come. He wants us to run into the Tower of Refuge. And he says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble." He invites us to cry out and say, "O Lord, O Lord." So it is most definitely the prayer of an afflicted man. But then secondly, it is adding to his affliction that God doesn't seem to hear him. God doesn't appear to answer him. You see, this isn't his first prayer about this matter. This isn't the first time he says about the trouble. It's evident that he's been praying about this matter for a very long time, because he frames the prayer thus: "How long shall I cry?" As if to say, "I've been crying for ages, Lord. I've been crying night and day. I've been coming to thee all the time about it. How long do I have to continue? How long?" And so it's obvious that while he brings us in, he doesn't bring us into his prayer closet early. He brings us in late, even after a long time. He brings us in at a point of desperation. He's been alone with God many times on the matter. And he says, "You won't hear. You won't save. You won't answer." And so there's a kind of a desperation now, isn't there? And he's bringing us in right at that point, right at that point of desperation. Things have come to a head. You can't bear it anymore. You can't suffer it anymore. They've come to a head. And it's him and God now alone wrestling together. And he wants us to come in and see. Because the Holy Spirit is telling him, "Bring the people in. Bring the people in, Habakkuk, to see you, to hear you. Bring the people in, because I want my people to learn. I want my people to learn from you. So bring them in, Habakkuk, and open your prayer closet." And so what a man of God never really can do, open his prayer closet. What a man can never, man of God can never really can do, Habakkuk is told by the Holy Spirit to do so. And he does. And that's why we're in today. We're in his prayer closet and the door's open for you. For you all to come in and learn. What do we learn here then? What obviously sticks out is that God doesn't always answer right away. God doesn't always answer right away. The problem of unanswered prayer, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? The problem of unanswered prayer is one that all of God's people have to face. It's nothing new that the prophet is experiencing at this particular time. This very thing of unanswered prayer that he's wrestling with, it's nothing new. And his frustration at it is set forth in that expression, how long? We focused on the O Lord. Now let's focus on the how long? How long? The lack of answer, I have to say, and we're not really going to open up a whole series of sermons which might be done on the difficulty and problems of unanswered prayer. We're not going to do that. But the lack of answer is not due to lack of earnestness on his part. It's not due to lack of sincerity. Many of our prayers are not answered because we're not sincere and we're not earnest. Full stop. We don't have to look beyond that. But that's not Habakkuk's problem. That's not his problem. He cried out. He's been crying out a long time. Twice he uses the verb, I cry. I cry out. He's earnest. He's sincere. Because that's what happens when you get into trouble. You're sincere. You don't just pray anymore. You cry out. So earnestness and sincerity isn't a problem here. He's cast his burden on the Lord, and he has been doing it a very long time. But silence. Silence. He virtually accuses God. His complaint is very bold. You won't hear. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. Or maybe we ask half-heartedly. But as I said, that's not his problem. He's praying always. Always. The saints often say to the Lord, O Lord, make haste to help me. You'll find that in the Bible quite a bit. Make haste to help me. It's part of the liturgy of the Anglican Church. O Lord, make haste to help us. Make haste to save us. But it's not always the case. We say, Lord, make haste, be quick, come fast. But it's not always the case. And soon we are saying something different. Soon we're saying, oh Lord, how long? How long shall I cry? I've given up saying, make haste. I've given up saying, come quickly. I've got to the stage now where I'm saying, Lord, how long? How long is it going to be? Maybe this morning that's where you are. Maybe this is the very question that's on your mind. How long is this going to continue? How long am I going to have to bear this? Maybe that's your very question today. And maybe you're not even just saying it in your mind. Maybe you are actually saying it to the Lord. How long? Which is the best way to say it. Maybe the affliction has been so long time acute, you're using this very word today to God. In fact, maybe you feel at home with the prophet today. Maybe you can say, Habakkuk's, he's my friend today. We have a fellowship of sufferings today. It's no accident that the preacher has been led at this time into this book. It's fitting in, it's dovetailing in with what's happening in my life. Is that the case? How long? Don't you think you're an unusual Christian? Don't you think you're a saint who's different? Will you only you say how long? Know this, that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren. And here's one of them. Habakkuk is his name. He has a similar affliction to us. So don't think you're just one in a billion. I'm the only one who this goes through this. The psalmist many times had to say, how long? How long? Just let me give you a sample of some of them. Psalm 6, verse 3. My soul is sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, there it is again, O Lord, how long? How long? You see, Habakkuk has gone into his prayer closet, which every saint does, with his prayer book. The book of the Psalms. He's gone in with the book of the Psalms. He's found the very words. He takes them out of the Psalter and he says, O Lord, how long? He gets it from the Psalms. Because that's where all God's suffering people turn to whenever they can't find the words. Psalm 13, verse 1. How long? How long will thou forgive me? Forget me, O Lord. There it is again. How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me? Psalm 35, verse 17. Lord, how long will you look on? O God, how long shall the adversary reproach me? How long? You see, it's fine to say it. You're allowed to say it to God. It's in the Word. It's not a sin to say to God, how long? It's not a sin. You're allowed to go into the tower of the Psalter with God and to use the language of complaint in Holy Scripture and say even this, how long, Lord? And you don't hear. How long? It's fine to say it. And your Heavenly Father has no problem with you saying it. And he gives you the very words to lisp as you bleat in your affliction. The Christian church in this wicked world will never cease saying this. How long? It will never cease to say this as long as Jesus Christ delays his coming back again. It'll never cease to say to Jesus Christ, how long, Lord? How long ere you come back again and bring in justice and righteousness and let the light of thy just glory shine upon all men in that great judgment day? And especially as persecution continues and intensifies in the last days, and the church increasingly is pressed down by a wicked world, and the world system prevails against it seems, there will be the church still in its corner, in its tower with God, saying, how long, O Lord? How long? The last time we read of the church's how long is in the book of the Revelation. And it's found in chapter 6. I know we're coming to the end of chapter 5 in our studies, but in the next chapter we read there that the souls of the saints, they cried with a loud voice saying, How long? Oh, Lord, there it is again. These are the souls of the saints in heaven. They're not on earth. These are the souls of the saints in heaven. And they're even crying, how long, O Lord? Even they're crying it. Holy and true, how long, O Lord, do you not judge and avenge our blood? You see, they were murdered. They were butchered. They were persecuted. They're holy martyrs for Jesus Christ. And this is their cry. Even the holy martyrs cry, how long, O Lord? And shall we living not cry it? Who feel the same oppression, who are under the same and similar assault, shall we not cry it and pray for justice and intervention and God's judgment to come and intervene? Shall we not cry it? The living reigning with Jesus, even they say, how long, and they're right to say it. This wasn't and isn't a sinful how long on their part, because they are the spirits of justified men made perfect, and they're living and reigning with Jesus Christ in glory. And if it can be asked reverently and sinlessly, at least in heaven, then it can also be done so on earth. How long, O Lord? But we must ask it with the same spirit with which they ask it. But the fact of the matter is, God doesn't always answer our prayers quickly. The longest prayer that the church has ever prayed, we are still waiting for it. 2,000 years we have been waiting for it. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And we are still saying, how long? So the problem of unanswered prayer is a real problem. It can't be denied. The second lesson is that we must continue praying in such circumstances and never give up. It's been long for Habakkuk, but he's still crying. He's still praying. He's been long praying. He's been long crying, but he's continuing. He's not fainting. He's not giving up. And that's another lesson here, isn't it? Don't give up. How long? But I'm still crying. Don't give up. Don't stop praying because of the problem of unanswered prayer, because you have to say how long. Don't let that discourage you. No matter how long, no matter all the problems with unanswered prayer, you ought always to pray still and never faint. Don't give up. Don't give up. It was the Lord Jesus who told us that, wasn't it? Men ought always to pray, never to faint. Do you remember whenever he did say that? Do you remember how he backed it up with a parable? It's a wonderful parable. We haven't time to look at it all, but he gave the parable that said that there was a, it's often called the parable of the unjust judge, but I prefer to call it the parable of the poor soul, the poor widow, the poor afflicted widow. And the Lord said there was a city, a judge in it one time, and never listened to anybody, didn't care about anybody, hadn't any compassion in his thought about anybody. He said there was a widow in that city. And she had a great trouble, and she said, avenge me of my adversary. I have a great opponent. He's making my life a misery. Avenge me of my adversary. And this judge for a while wouldn't do that. But afterward he said with himself, I don't care about God, I don't care about any man, But this woman, unless she comes and pesters me and knocks on my door every day and I get sick of her, then I'll do what she wants. And so I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she'll weary me. And the Lord's encouraging us to keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. And it's not an unjust judge that we come to. It's a compassionate Heavenly Father. But the Lord Jesus said something interesting at the end of that parable. He said, "And hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Though," and this is it, "he bear long with them." He bear long with them. I will say something about that in a wee moment if we have time. Now, of course, God is not that unjust, sinful judge. Certainly not towards his elect. But yet, he may, for good reason, bear long with them. Yes, it's long for us, but it's long for God too. He's bearing long with them too. But we still pray on. We still don't give up. This is what Jesus is saying. Keep at it. Keep praying. Don't worry about the delay. Don't give up. The Lord Jesus didn't give up. Do you remember when he was in Gethsemane? He prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I'm pressed down. It's sore heavy. I've looked into the dregs of it. It's fearful to drink it." And he's crying unto his Father. And there's nothing. And the second time he goes, there's nothing. Did he give up? No, being in an agony, he prayed more. He prayed more. And he prayed more earnestly, not less so. He prayed more earnestly. That's our dear Lord, whose footsteps we are to follow. So don't give up. There's a third lesson. There is something that should always kick in our minds whenever we're driven to say how long to God. It's this. We should reflect on God's how long to us. Because in reality, this expression is mirrored by God. We say how long, but God comes along and says how long too. In fact, it happens in this book. In chapter 2, God comes along and says how long. He mirrors what Habakkuk says. And so in reality, it's the other way around. On God's part, God is bearing long as well. God is holding back as well. It's long for him. But he must wait in his good and wise purposes. But it's long for him too, let me tell you. Though he bear long with them. And those souls under the altar, they're crying out. He's bearing long with them. Wait. There's a time. And that's how the Savior finished that parable, as I said. Actually, you read that parable, and you expect the Savior to say at the end, though they bear long with him. That's what you expect him to say. But it's not. It's him bearing long with them. They're continually coming, continually knocking. And we seem to be bearing long. But in reality, it's God bearing long. That's what the Lord's teaching us this morning. Bearing long to them in love. In great kindness. Till his purposes ripen. Takes time for that. He knows what he's doing. So never say this, how long in a way that implies the Lord doesn't cure. Never say it that way. Never say, Lord, you don't cure. You must never, ever impute that to God. Now, I think the prophet might be in that position where he thinks the Lord doesn't cure. But he will come to see that the Lord loves him still and the joy will come back again. But just at this particular minute, he's not feeling that. But we must never doubt his love and care and kindness, even when we're in this place. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, and the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. We must never forget the basics of the gospel, and our comfort must not go, though we still cry, how long? But men and women, you think you bear long with God. Let me tell you this, God bears long with you. He's bared long with us here. And so maybe God is saying, how long do you need this affliction? How long before I can come and remove it? How long before you start listening? Before we ever say how long to him, let us make sure we have answered his how long to us. God's how long in the Bible is a study in itself. But you remember the first time he ever said it, it was to Pharaoh. How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself? Pharaoh saying, how long are these plagues going to come on us? Seventh plague had passed. How long are these plagues going to come on to us? How long are we going to have to bear this man Moses? How long are we going to have to listen to his judgments and all his words? How long are we going to have to suffer him? And God's coming to Pharaoh and saying, how long is it going to be before you humble yourself? How long? Remember, Jesus even used the words, oh, faithless, perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Imagine our dear Lord Jesus driven to say that. As if he didn't want to walk on the earth anymore. This perverse and wicked world that grieved his soul. And he says, how long shall I be here? How long shall I be with you? The Lord says, how long? And he says it to his people as well. You remember, he come to Moses all the time and he said, Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? How long will this people provoke me? How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? How long? How long? There's a fourth lesson, final one. We'll finish with this. We must know that God does hear his suffering saints cry. The question, how long, is in relation to God's hearing. How long shalt thou hear? How long shall I cry and you won't hear? There's an audacity in that question that this prophet asks. While it may be right to say at times, brethren and sisters, how long, it's never right to say he's not hearing. He is hearing. He's hearing your prayers. He's hearing your cry. He's hearing it. He's just not answering it yet. But he always hears. Really, we know that. That's the wonderful thing about God. That's the wonderful thing about our relationship with God. Even when we think he doesn't hear us, he hears us. Oh, he hears us. God has no problem with his hearing, child of God, when it comes to his people. He doesn't shut his ears to their cry. Lord, thou dost hear the cry of the humble. There's no question about the matter. The truth is, God always hears his people. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. God always hears their prayer. In fact, it says in the Bible, before they call, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear. Before the call, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear. That's what God says. He hears you. Don't fret about that matter. Don't fret about that. He hears you. There's just a reason for the delay in the answering. Remember this. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. But his face is against them that do wicked. That's the truth of the matter. He hears the destitute. And so we must never think he doesn't hear us. God does hear. He just doesn't always answer when we would like him to answer, and in the way we think he should answer. And why is that? We cannot tell. But I think I hear God among the prophets saying to us this morning and giving us somewhat of an answer. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Your thoughts, my child, are very limited. I know what I'm doing, just trust, and especially, just pray on. Just pray on. That's the lesson today. Just pray on. Just continue. Just continue.